Amen. Amen. Thank you. Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Matthew chapter 25. The Lord had really been dealing with my heart about this passage of Scripture for a couple of weeks now, and I hope and pray that I could be a blessing and encouragement to you this morning. Sometimes, as a small church, we have difficulties and trials that are different from those churches that are much larger. Being in a small community and being in many ways isolated from larger communities, sometimes small churches can get discouraged because things aren't going as well as they would hope or believe. Every church has their own difficulties and trials. Even larger churches have difficulties and trials that we wouldn't be facing as smaller ones. But sometimes smaller churches really get a feeling of being deserted or being neglected, not only by other larger churches, but sometimes she can also get a sense that maybe God has overlooked her in some way or fashion. I'm not saying that always crosses our minds, but as a small church, we have difficulties and trials that larger churches don't have. Larger churches don't have the problems and occasions like we do when you get so many people sick or ill, you just can't have church. They have enough people, well, they'll always have church. And then sometimes when illness strikes a small church, you're few in number. And when you don't see souls being saved and the church not growing, sometimes it can frustrate you. I want to help you this morning by looking at a passage of Scripture that I hope and pray would encourage us all not to look in the wrong direction. You know, people are prone to judge by size and location. Do you know that? But God has always and will always esteem quality, faithfulness, loyalty, and love to Him above all things. God's not so much worried about quantity as He is quality, as seen and declared in this parable of the talents, which I want to just look at the first two verses this morning, probably in a different way than I ever have before, but this is what struck me, and I want to be an encouragement to you this morning, and I want to encourage our small church in spite of the difficulties and frustrations sometimes we face when we feel as though we're isolated and alone and neglected. And I'm sure we don't always feel that way, but it can cross our minds. And I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. And I think we see this in the parable of the talents. Let's look at verse 14 and 15 again. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Now pay attention to the wording. He called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And then to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Now the Lord here gives us a parable about the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. And I think and I believe its truths can be reflected in every church, but especially in ours this morning. And I want you to notice, first of all, like all truths concerning God and Christianity, that we must, as a church, as believers, always begin with God Himself. I've preached this for 30-some years, and I'll continue to do that. Whenever you and I are faced with any situation in life, we must begin with God. Not my circumstances, not my situation, not my trials, afflictions, not my surroundings, not my feelings, not my thoughts, but I must begin with God. Because if we begin with ourselves or anything else, we're going to come up with the wrong conclusion. Always begin with God. The parable begins with God. Listen to this. The kingdom of heaven is as a man, referring also to the Son of God or God, traveling into a far country when he ascended, Now watch this. Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. You see how it starts not with the talents, but starts with the Lord. It starts with the master. Man would begin with the talents. How many talents does each one get? But God doesn't do that. God begins with his sovereign power and authority. He calls his own servants. You see the authority in that? And he delivers or entrusts unto them his goods. You see how God starts with himself? It starts with the Lord, not with the servant, not with the talents, but it starts with God. You and I, in our situation as a small church, we have to start with God, not with ourselves, and not with what God's given us, but with God himself. He called his own servant. There's the authority. He called them. They didn't come. They didn't come of their own. He calls his own servants, and he delivers unto them his goods. It's not their goods, it's his goods. So you have here a picture of the master and the servants who come at his beckoning, and he gives unto them not their goods, but his. And he says, okay, you're my servants. I'm calling you to do something. I'm not asking you. I'm calling you to do something, and I'm calling you to me, and I'm going to give you my goods. They're not yours. They're mine. Okay? The servant doesn't choose his calling. Can you imagine back in those days, better illustration, can you imagine the servant of a king? And in every case, you had a king, but the servant was always waiting in the presence of the king, and he had to either just wait for the hand to move or a word to be said, and he had to be ready and prepared to get up and go. He was a servant to the king. He had to be at his every beckoning. Can you imagine back then a king calling the servant, and the servant going, I'll come by later when I got a minute. Yeah. Well, not right now. I'm kind of painting my toenails, or I got other things to do. Be right there. Wouldn't happen. The servant would lose his head. The servant had to come. So we have here a servant who's called. So a servant doesn't choose his calling. He's called, or in this point, he's summoned. He's appointed. God has summoned him. God has summoned me and you as believers. He summoned us. When God calls you and I to do something, to service, he doesn't ask us, he calls us. He calls us. He's sovereign, okay? Servant doesn't choose his calling. The servant doesn't choose which of the master's goods he wants. Well, Lord, I know you gave me this good here, but I really don't want it. Can I have another one? Can you imagine him telling the king that? Remember in Sunday school I told you the first time I preached, I wasn't called to preach. Terrified, I preached 7 minutes, don't remember what I preached. And then when they asked me, well, you feel called to preach? I said, I will never do that again. Never, ever will I do that. Where am I at today? Don't ever tell God never, ever. Don't even tell him never. Don't tell him no. It'll work. The servant doesn't choose. He doesn't choose which of the master's goods he wants. But he's delivered. They are sovereignly delivered. They're sovereignly entrusted. They're sovereignly committed by the master. You know, we think a lot of times we have a choice in how we want to serve Christ. In some regards, that's true, but in most regards, it's not. Because whatever the Lord wants you and I to do, we're going to do it. We are. And it's not God going, I'm going to make you do it. That's not how he does it. He's so sovereign and so compassionate and so wonderful. He has a way of manipulating our lives, our circumstances, our hearts, our affections, to bend our wills to his. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And that's exactly what we are. So God will have his way with you and I when it comes to service. Now, true, as we'll see later on in this parable, and I want to look at that, he holds us responsible what we do with that talent, but he will call us and deliver unto us the goods he wants us to have. We don't have a choice in his calling. We don't have a choice in what goods we want. They're given to us. The servant don't go, I don't really want that. If you'd have said that to me the morning after I preached that 7-minute forgotten sermon in Germany back in the 1981, I would have said, there's never no way, ever, ever, ever I'll do that. And you can tell me this all you want to, that ain't going to happen. What I just felt in that pulpit, the fear I just felt, the embarrassment, the shame that I felt, that I just couldn't even get a word, there's no way, no way I'm ever going to do that. But God has a way of bending our wills. Forcefully, yet lovingly. You hear me? Sternly, yet compassionately. He has a way of doing that. If you think about it, that's how he brought us to salvation, didn't he? Sternly, yet compassionately, forcibly, yet lovingly. He bent our wills. He made us willing to come of ourselves. That's what the servant, he's sovereign. It always begins with God. We always have to begin with God. It's him calling a servant. It's his goods entrusted how he wants. Okay? The Lord said it best in John 15:16. He said this, listen to this. Just listen to me. You have not chosen me. Wow. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. There's the calling. I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Don't take my free will away from... No, you didn't choose me. You did not choose me. Because if you chose what you wanted and what you loved, you'd have stayed in your sin. I chose you. You didn't choose me. And he says, ordained you. That's appointed you. I chose you and I ordained you. I appointed you. Sounds like the talents, doesn't it? He called his servants and he gave unto them his goods. Sounds like the talents, doesn't it? John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained, appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I like that. He doesn't say, I've chosen you and ordained you and hopefully you'll bring something about. He says, no, I've not only chosen you and appointed you and ordained you, but I'm going to make it even possible that you're going to go forth and bring forth fruit, and I'm even going to make it possible that your fruit remains. In other words, you're going to be successful in what I call you to do. I like that. You know that? Because if I look to myself, I haven't been very successful in my efforts in life. And some I wish I could redo. Yeah. I woke up in tears the other morning. My wife had to shake me hard to get me awake. But I dreamt that my son came back as a kid and I had a chance to do everything all over again, knowing what was going to happen. I didn't want to wake up. I wanted to stay there. I had a second chance. It wasn't reality, but you see, if I look at the things I've done, I haven't done them right. Not always. Amen. So I'm glad he says, no, I've not only chosen you, but I've appointed you. And not only that, I'm going to make sure that you bring forth fruit. And you know what? I'm going to make sure your fruit remain. That gives me confidence, not in myself, but in him. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2. Why? For it is God that worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. You work it out with fear and trembling. Why? Because God's working in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. What a confidence builder that is. Oh, thank God you're not trusting in me to do this thing right. Thank God you're not trusting in my weak abilities to do your will. Thank God that you're going to make me succeed. Even when I fail. That's a blessing. Beloved, herein lies the divine security, the confidence, which every servant of God must build his talents of service to God upon. For only this divine foundation of God calling and giving his own, only that, beloved, is going to help us stand firm against all difficulties and hardships, trials, doubts, confusion, disappointments that the servant might face in trading or working, laboring his talents. This is the confidence. I wasn't called to do this. He called me to do it. It isn't my goods I'm delivering. It's His goods. That's the confidence. Young preacher said one time to an older preacher, said, I don't know. He said, I believe God's called me to preach, but I don't know if anybody will be there to hear me. And the old man of God said, if God's called you to preach, He'll bring people to hear you. You see, we need to learn to look at the bigger picture. James 1 says this, listen to this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. Is from above. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. That no variableness means He's not susceptible to change. Listen to me as I read this verse. Every good gift, He's given you and I a gift. He's given you and I a talent. He's given us a calling. Every good gift, perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who is not susceptible to change in what He purposes for you and I, neither shadow of turning, deviation from the way. In other words, He's not susceptible to change, and He's not deviated to turn from the way. In other words, when God gives you and I a talent, calls us and gives us that talent, God is not susceptible to change His mind regarding that. You know what? You know, God gives us a talent or gift and says, you know what? I really thought you'd use that better. What I'm going to do is just, I'm going to change my mind about you. No. God says, well, I really wanted you to go down that way with this talent, but you didn't, so I'm going to deviate from the way and go a different direction. No. I said this once before, but I was in a preacher's meeting one time. Room full of preachers, and they were making plans for the next month. And this guy had the audacity. He was a preacher for years. I about fell off my seat. He said, well, we plan on doing this next month, but go ahead and mark this in your calendars in pencil in case God changes His mind. My mouth dropped open. I about fell off my seat, and I said, I can't believe you. We might get it mixed up. He's not. God's not going to change His mind. You know how many times I've tried to cast in the towel with preaching? That's it. I ain't doing this. You ain't. If you run into a preacher that has not tried to quit at least 1,000 times, he's never made an effort. And it's the same thing in Christianity. I guarantee you there's a few times in your life you wanted to throw the towel in and quit. What made it possible that you didn't quit? I have appointed you that your fruit should bring forth and remain. You know who that was? That was God saying, you might quit on yourself, but I'm not quitting on you. I've called you to do something. I gave you something to do, and I'm going to make sure you do it. Amen. And delivered unto them His goods. These are not the servant's goods. It's not the servant's goods to do with what he wants. Follow me. Small church in Burkett, small people, been through ups and downs, been through trials, but yet this is not your church. It's not my church. It's not Brother Hughes's church. It's not Bruce's church. This is Christ's church. It's His church. It's His talent. It's not yours or mine. We need to keep that in remembrance. It's not yours or mine. It's His. If there's a light still shining in Burkett, it's because God has ordained it to be so, because it's His. It's not yours and mine to do with what we want. And sometimes you get in churches and you feel that's exactly the way the church is run. It's His church. It's not mine or yours. It's His. If He's put it here, and I hope and pray we all believe He has. It's been here since what? Well, how old's this church? That's a long time. Do you know that? Y'all ought to be proud of that. That's a long time. The light might be smaller than what it used to be, but it's still a light. Okay? And if you ever notice that the darker it gets in the room, the lesser the light shines even more, or the less light shines even more. You don't need a large light. Amen. Do you know that? I'm getting ahead of myself, but so God gave us one talent. We don't have five. So? Question is, what are we doing with that one talent? Not what would we do if we had five. We don't have five. We got one. They're not the servant's goods, but they're delivered. They're entrusted to him by God. And he has ordained that that servant bring forth fruit. They are sovereignly appointed by God, and they are his goods. So let's start with God. He called his servants. It's his goods, okay? Secondly, and I want to close with this, but secondly, I want to bring this to you. As the talents belong to the Lord, and they're his goods, so too it's that same Lord who delivers them, each servant, the measure of talents. He gives each servant in the parable the measure of talent the Lord deems fit for each servant. Watch this verse, verse 15. Because you need to understand this, a lot of people misinterpret this. Look in verse 15. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. To every man according to his several ability. Well, there it is, preacher. God looked at him and says, oh, this guy's got more possibilities than this guy, so I'm going to give him five. That's not what it says. That's not what it means. Well, isn't that what it means? To every man according to his several ability? Let me ask you a question. Whose several ability is he talking about? The servants or the Lord's? He's certainly not talking about the servants. He's certainly not looking down and saying, oh, look, this man here has much more faith than this other one. I'm going to give him five. You're reading the text wrong. That's not what he's saying. This is not referring to the abilities or the capabilities of each servant. Okay? But it's in accordance, this word, listen to me, this is what the wording says, but in accordance to the power and authority of the Lord as he sees fit. In other words, he's got three servants, and he chooses as he seems fit, I'm going to give you five, I'm going to give you two, I'm going to give you one. Not according to their talents, but according as I please to give them out. It's my pleasure to give you these talents in the measure I seem fit to give you. Nothing in yourselves. You follow me? Nothing in yourselves. It's in accordance with my authority. Each servant, beloved, was delivered a portion of his Lord's good according to the wisdom and the authority of the Lord as he sees fit. He's going, I'm going to give you five because I want to, not because of anything of yourself. I'm going to give you two, not because of anything yourself, because this is what I want to give you. And I'll give you one. Isn't that amazing? Most people believe that this parable here is talking about the servant's ability to do good with what the master gave him. But that's not what he's saying. Paul says it best in 1 Corinthians 4. He says this, listen, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Good question. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You ever look at some of these larger churches sometimes? They act as though they are deity itself, that God is favored by their service. I've been in preachers' meetings, and I'm shameful to say this. I've been in preachers' meetings where preachers walk around because they're popular and because they're big. They walk around with this arrogancy of pride as though they got it themselves. It just puts great distaste in my mouth. You know what's sad? It's not a little bit to do with it. You go down to a worldly bookstore that will sell you all the trash in the world, and you can get cheap books. Go across the street to Christian books, they'll cost you three times as much as a worldly, wicked book will. You know why? Christians charge more money. Don't ask me why. I used to go to conferences all the time in Germany. I'd go to London once a year and go to a conference in Spurgeon's old church. Loved it. Be there a whole week. You talk about edifying and helping me as a preacher to be able to sit for a whole week and get fed myself. Preachers need that. I haven't been to a conference in years. Don't have time or the money. I'm too far out. I got to go to Dallas to go to a conference. But most of these conferences they ask you to come to, you got to pay $500-$600 to go to the conference. Because the speakers there require so much money. Preachers. So a lot of small churches like ourselves, and I know quite a few of them, feel left out in the cold. Brother, I'd love to go to that conference, but there's no way I can afford that. My church ain't big enough to finance that thing, and I don't make enough money to go. I can't spend $500 on the conference, and then on top of that, the hotel cost and everything else that comes involved in that. You're talking about anywhere from $500 to $1,000. They ain't got money for that kind of stuff, but that's what they charge because the preachers are so popular. So they got five talents, and we got one. Does that make us any less significant in the eyes of God? Of course not. But they act like it, don't they, sometimes? Not all of them. I don't want a blanket statement every church. But a lot of them do. It's God who delivers, who entrusts each servant with that measure of talent he sovereignly chooses to give. Okay? It's not that the one given five talents was more faithful or capable, but in accordance to their God-given abilities. Listen to me. According to their God-given abilities. Okay? For God only requires what He Himself provides. In other words, God says, okay, here's five, I require five. We'll see that later on in the talents, remember? You probably read it before, we'll see it later on where, you know, two have been proved on it, the one didn't. God holds you responsible, holds me responsible, only for the God-given talents He's given me. Not any more, not any less. I've given you this much, I require that much. I've given you two, I require only two. I've given you one, I require only one. So in other words, you with one, I don't require that you do the same as with the five. But I require that you're faithful and loyal with the one. Now, I'm not saying we got one talent or two talents. I'm not going to try to put a measurement there. But we're a small church. True. Very difficult. Full-time working pastor. Hard to reach out to the economy, to the community. It's hard to do a lot of things. And it seems like a lot of times, you know, we're struggling as small. We might only have one talent, but it's not. We shouldn't be looking at the point that we don't have five. We should be looking and saying, God, am I faithful? Am I loyal with the one you've given me? Not being jealous because somebody else has got five. And people do tend to judge like that, don't they? I guarantee you there's people that come in here and go, what? No Sunday school for the kids? No youth program? No bus ministry? No band set up on the stage? No worship service? No, this isn't the church for me. I'm going to go to them larger ones that's got five talents. You've only got one. You ain't got enough for me. There's a lot of people that do that. If God's given us one, let's be faithful to the one. If He's given us two, let's be faithful with the two. If He's given us five, let's be faithful with the five. God doesn't give us according to our abilities, but according to the abilities He's given us. Not ours. And like I said, people tend to measure and judge one another by the number of talents. But not God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to kind of get a foretaste of what's coming. You know God gives 1-5, 1-2, and 1-1. It's the one that had the less that didn't do right. Isn't that amazing? You ever thought about that? It's the one that only had one. You'd figure that it was the one that had five. Man, I got so many talents, I'm going to sit back, take it easy. But it's the one. You think maybe he got jealous that he didn't get more than he did? Think maybe he kind of looked at the others and said, man, look at that. Joe gets two. Frank gets five. I got one. There was a preacher one time, pastored a large church, a couple thousand people. in his older years, reaching retirement, he decided to take a smaller church, less than 20 people in the church, on a good Sunday, out in the woods in Tennessee. He was a well-known, popular preacher. Had lunch one day with a few preachers. One of the preachers asked him, said, "How is that possible? How is that possible for you to go from a church that's got a couple thousand membership to one that's got under 20? And the old man of God looked at him and he says, "I'm just surprised God would entrust me with one soul, let alone 20. See the difference in that old man? He wasn't looking to the big churches that have all the numbers and all the padded pews and all the programs and the five talents. He was concentrating on the one that God gave him. We want to be successful. We're going to be small, and we'll probably always be that way, the way this generation's turning out. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's not looking at the talents we don't have. It's looking at the ones we do have and being faithful and loyal with that one. That's when success, spiritual success, starts. When we start being loyal with the one God has given us. So whatever God's given us, let's be faithful and loyal to the one. Okay? And if we do that, God's pleased. You know that? Let me close with this. There's a preacher one time, and I believe this is going to be true. He's talking about meeting God in heaven. He said, "What do you think it's going to be like in heaven?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I believe it's going to be like." And this is just a thought. It's not biblically sound, but it's a thought and probably a good one. He said, "You know what I think is going to happen? When we stand before God, God is going to have Paul and Peter and all the great, well-known preachers of history and time stand to the side. And he's going to ask this one little old 80, 90-year-old woman come up. And going to honor her above all these so-called popular preachers for her faithful prayers every day for the church, for the pastor, for the believers, for sinners." You see, God's not looking down here saying, "Boy, I'm going to pass over Burkett. They don't have very big numbers in church. I'm going to go and bless these bigger ones." He's not doing that. He's looking down and saying, "Burkett, what you doing with the one talent I gave you? You being faithful with that? Praise God, hallelujah, that's what I want. That's all I'm asking." If just a cup of water, that old song says, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they may thy glory see. See the difference? So God give us grace. I know it can be frustrating. Believe me, I'm a pastor. Don't you think I'd like to see the pews full? Oh, it'd be great. It'd be wonderful. Is that my desire? Yeah, it is. But I don't want to lose sight of what God's given us and just be loyal with what he's given us for now and watch how God increases that. And we'll be looking at that later. But you know, the five and the two, they did increase their talents. The one didn't. So if we're loyal with what God's given us, God sends the increase. That's what Paul said. Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." So let's not get frustrated and downhearted and discouraged. Let's remain faithful to what God's given us and watch how God blesses us for that. Amen. I hope this has encouraged us, amen, in these difficult and hard times. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord for what he's given us. Each and every one of you are a blessing to this church. Your talents, each and every one of them, are necessary for this church. And just as important as the next one. Believe me, I miss this little old sister up here playing piano. One day, hopefully, we'll have her back. Amen. She's a blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, how you will condescend to such lowly places as Burkett. Lord, I know that we're isolated. I know, Lord God, it's a small community. I know that, Lord, we struggle in many things. Yet, Father, I pray that we'd not be found disheartened or discouraged, Lord, at the one talent or two or however many you've given us. But let us be loyal and faithful with that which you've given us. Let us look to you. let us always begin with you. You've called us. It's your goods. You entrusted us with them. Help us to be the good and faithful servants we need to be. We love you and we thank you for all you've given us. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Hope and pray you have a good week.